Well, before we get into this week's broadcast, I want to take a moment to remember a friend of mine, Jessica Starr. I worked with her at Fox, too. She was a weather person. I was a reporter. She took her life. She leaves behind a really good dude, her husband, two children, 2 and 5 years old. I don't know why. I suppose we all want to know why, so we can check in with ourselves. Look at her and think, you know, she's beautiful, has a great job. Everybody likes her. She's home. She's on TV. Can't know why. And then people ask me how, and I don't know why you want to know. It's not important. Won't change anything in your life. But I do know that I was, like, half in love with her. I really liked her. We spent a lot of time together at work. We talked about real things. We talked about what the job really was. We talked about our families, the falsities that we chased, weight, beauty, stature. She struggled after having children emotionally. I don't know. I wish she would have called. And it's the holidays, and I know a lot of us get blue. Just remember, call somebody. Even if you don't think there's anybody to call, there is. Because the saddest thing is somebody's going to miss her, and she doesn't know. And if you don't think you have anybody to call, I know you're not going to call the 800 suicide hotline. Some people do, and that's good. You should. But most people aren't going to Google that. So if you feel down, you can just drive to the hospital. Just go to emergency. They're nice there. They're really nice at Beaumont and Henry Ford. They have coffee. They'll listen to you. You matter. Yeah, bub? You matter. To you, Jessica.
No bullshit news.
Charlie, it's very simple.
No bullshit news. Like most of your stories, it's false. No bullshit news.
You are fake news.
No bullshit news.
Stop with the media bullying.
Charlie.
Stop the media bullying.
No bullshit news.
Hot dog. Yeah, no shame in my game.
No bullshit news.
What up, Bob, Karen, Matt? Matt's with us today.
Hello.
Welcome in, brother. Lots to do today. Lots to get to. Okay, let's just start right now. The big story in the nation this week. Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, sentenced to 3 years in prison for perjury, tax fraud, and most importantly to Trump and us, campaign finance violations, which I guess we're all interpreting as hush money to shut up a Playboy bunny and a porn star, Stormy Daniels.
His mistresses.
His ladies.
His side pieces. Okay, well, anyway, hey, are you there, Alan?
I'm right here, Charlie. How are you?
I'm really well, brother. Let me introduce you. This is Alan Foyer, the New York Times. In my opinion, the most well-rounded and talented person at the New York Times. The guy knows the courthouses. He knows the mob. He's currently covering the El Chapo trial. He also covered Michael Cohen. You know Michael Cohen, don't you?
Yes, I've seen him in court numerous times.
Okay, dude, let's just get to it. Campaign finance violations. Is that even a criminal offense?
On the books? Absolutely. You know, have they tried to prosecute it very often? No. When they have, hasn't always really worked out. You remember John Edwards, Charlie? Remember
yeah,
John Edwards,
yeah, that little creep. Yeah, the one that was stooping a campaign aid, got her pregnant.
Yeah, paid her off. They took him to trial, and he walked. He was acquitted.
Acquitted of what? Taking contributions and paying her off?
Yeah, basically, it was like an in-kind campaign contribution to his own campaign, and that theory just didn't really fly with the jury.
You mean, so he paid, did he pay her hush money? Was that the allegation?
Essentially, yeah, they had had an affair, they had had a child together. You know, he had paid her to be quiet about it all. The prosecution tried to say this took place in the context of the campaign, and therefore it was a campaign contribution. Jury didn't really go for it.
Well, do you recall, I know this was a while ago, I mean, I remember following it, but where was the check written from?
Oof, I can't tell you, man.
Well, because I do know with Cohen and Trump, this didn't come out of the, I didn't see it in the campaign filings. You know what
no.
I mean?
No, so the whole idea here is the money came from a couple places. One was the company that owns the National Enquirer, American Media, right? And then the other part of the money was reimbursed to Michael Cohen by Trump's business, the Trump Organization. So even though it didn't come from the campaign per se, the theory is that because the payoffs were made very closely before the election, it gets wrapped into, you know, that political, those political circumstances, and therefore could be considered campaign violations.
Stretch, bro.
Never declared, right?
It's just, I would call it a, it was a deal of convenience, but to call it a in-kind contribution is really technically a stretch.
You know, look what Rudy Giuliani has said. Rudy Giuliani has made comments saying, like, basically this was all done before the campaign so as to, you know, keep it out of the public sphere during the campaign. So, I don't know. That's Trump's lawyer.
But go ahead, Karen.
No, I want to ask you, Alan, what does this mean for Trump? I mean, you know, the question has been whether or not a sitting president can be indicted, whether he may ride out in terms of, statute of limitations, what was it, the 35th rule? I mean, all these things are coming into play. But ultimately, I mean, Donald Trump has gotten away with a lot of stuff that has been questioned from an ethical standpoint. But from a legal standpoint, what does it mean?
Good question. So first of all, you're right. Justice Department practice, you can't indict a sitting president. Can the Justice Department indict Trump if he doesn't get reelected? Right? 2020, he's out. Statute of limitations on these violations, so says federal prosecutors, are you haven't reached those limitations if he doesn't make it in for a second term. But let's just step back for a second here. You have both, Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, and you have federal prosecutors in their sentencing memos essentially saying that the president of the United States committed a federal crime. Let's just let that sink in for a sec, you know? Whether or not...
Before we let that sink in, he was not president of the United States. This wasn't high crimes and misdemeanors while he occupied the chair.
That's true.
He was committing a crime to get the job.
Well, that's what Alan's saying is with the in-kind contribution.
Yes.
That's why it's all part and parcel. Perhaps. But I have an abiding respect for the chair. I hate to see the chair get thrown out in the weather. Indict the fucker when he leaves. But again, you didn't do it while occupying the office.
That's true.
And let's remind all our listeners, that's not the law. That you can't indict a sitting president. It's DOJ policy.
That's right, it is.
It's not just the law.
It's a practice that they've developed over the year.
Right.
Well, again,
somebody is running for president, murders somebody, and then is elected president, are they not to be indicted for that murder?
Quite possibly, Bob, because law is not just what is written, it's also... custom.
So you're saying the president is above the law?
Let me finish this. The law is predicated not only on what's written, but what is customary and what prior cases. That's those books you see in a lawyer's office?
Yeah, it's called precedent. Well, I know.
Okay.
I get that.
So again, once we get to a guy that's murdered somebody, perhaps we will. Don't forget, people wanted to charge George Bush II Jr. with murder as the president because of Iraq. And we didn't do that. So you see the sticky wicket.
Yes.
Are we going to blow this shit up for a porno star, Alan? Is that really what the prevailing attitude is, as you see it as a reporter walking those streets and those corridors?
I got to tell you, way more interesting than this is that there's a bunch of civil cases, civil lawsuits that Stormy Daniels has filed against the president and Michael Cohen, right? And in one of those lawsuits, Stormy's lawyer, Michael Avenatti, right, bald head, was going to run for president.
Yeah, meathead.
He's going to take Cohen's deposition. And what Cohen is going to say in that deposition under questioning by Michael Avenatti could be very interesting. So, is he going to get indicted? Hell if I know, right?
We'll see. There's justice.
And I'm not sticking my neck out on that one. But I'm just saying that this is all like, if you just trace the statements that the president has made about how this played out over time, you can't keep it straight, right? It's like, no, I did nothing. Okay, fine. It was a personal transaction. Oh, you know what? Michael Cohen's to blame. That's what gets me, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the entertainment aspect of it, but let's remember.
That's not the entertainment aspect of it. That's what he's saying.
No, but it's the entertainment aspect, Bob, because if you go back to Whitewater, you Ken Starr, right? It was Whitewater. By the time Whitewater investigation's over, you've got two mentions of Whitewater, 500 mentions of sex.
And a blue dress.
And the blue dress had nothing to do with the impeachment because what he did was, under oath, he lied. Trump has not been under oath. We all know he's a liar. Everybody knows that.
He hasn't been under oath.
Even people that like him know he's a liar. Right? So that's the deal. Now, Alan.
Yeah.
How much... See, it is a crime because Cohen copped to it. It's
correct.
A crime. It's a criminal. You're going to jail or prison. How long is he going to prison specifically for the campaign violation?
That's impossible to tell, man. The guy pleaded guilty to a bunch of stuff. He pleaded guilty to campaign violations. He pleaded guilty to a bunch of, like, bank fraud charges, some other kind of related financial charges.
The taxicab medallions, all that.
He pleaded guilty to lying to Congress. So we can't parse it out and say how much is the campaign violation itself. He's going to do 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And that's after he cooperated.
Fuck.
Yeah.
What about
bye, Felicia?
What about the tape that CNN played of Cohen and it talked about? There's a lot of stuff indicating that this is just the tip of maybe a larger iceberg.
Look, there's been talk all along of more tapes, right? We've heard the one that came out where Cohen and Trump are discussing the payments, and Cohen is mentioning the names of some other big executives at the Trump Organization who were involved. I mean, that guy supposedly, his name is Alan Weisselberg. He's the CFO of the Trump Organization. That guy supposedly has an immunity deal, and he's talking to the prosecutor. So
the money man.
We'll find out whether there's more tapes or not. But
is Weisselberg with American Media, or is he with the Trump Org?
Trump Org.
Because American Media is flipping over too, right?
That's correct.
So we got a bunch of like we don't even see the guy's tax returns. We don't even know if he committed fraud in that way.
I mean, look, when there's supposed to be three parties involved in this deal, aside from Stormy Daniels, right? Cohen, Trump, and American Media. David Pecker, he's the CEO of American Media. And Cohen.
What's his name?
Yeah, right. David M. Pecker. Cohen and David M. Pecker both say that something shady happened here, and Trump's the only one who's like, hey, everything's on the up, then what do you think? I don't know. I mean, This is the way this is headed.
Yeah,
I don't think it looks good.
No, it just look, man. Country's going through torture. You know, nothing's going to happen. This shit's going to limp through to the election. Want to hear my guess here? This shit limps through to the election. Nothing gets done. Nothing's been getting done. Everything seems eerily similar to what it was 2 years ago, and he won't get reelected. And maybe they'll follow through, and maybe they won't, and probably they won't. And we go on to the next poor sack that wants that job, and we'll do the same shit. It's been going on since Watergate.
I mean, look, all I know is that there's, the guys. Okay, so there's the Manhattan-based Southern District investigation, which is the Cohen thing. We haven't even talked about the Mueller thing, right, which is a complete wild card. We have no idea what that guy has. But the guys working, some of the guys working on that case, came out of the Brooklyn courthouse came out of, you know, they prosecuted mob guys for years. Enron, right? These are like serious guys, and they don't go home without a bone in their teeth. They're very good.
You know, it's a trip, so, dude. Is Mueller's deputy? Her name's Jeannie Rhee. Okay, she was Hillary's criminal defense attorney on the email stuff. She used to be the number two to Eric Holder. She was the private lawyer hired by our mayor to defend him in a corruption scandal here with federal money. I swear to fucking God, dude. Doing, doing, doing. You can call. Listen, we're going to roll on. You're awesome. We're going to, you're our expert here, but listen, you're covering the El Chapo trial, right?
Oh, man. That's just insanity day to day.
Real quick, like, what'd you tell me today about the cartels and the presidents?
The cartel? Yeah, so there was supposed to be testimony at the trial. One of the top cartel guys, you know, basically confessed to bribing millions of dollars, making payoffs to the last two presidents of Mexico. It was kind of released in a secret sidebar conversation with the judge. And then we all were waiting for a few days for this guy to take the stand and drop that bombshell. Never happened. The government came in. Prosecutors filed a secret memo. Judge held secret conversation. Never heard the testimony.
So outgoing President Nieto, right, in the incoming?
And apparently, we don't know for 100% sure, but okay. The way you read it is it looked a lot like Peña Nieto and López Obrador.
Oh,
now,
geez.
I'm saying that these guys took the money supposedly before they became president.
Hey, guess right? what? So they don't get indicted.
They're good.
Sound familiar?
Holy fuck,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, right?
Okay, listen, we're going to, in the new year, have you on, and let's just do this at length, because I know you're writing a book on that. I know you are.
It's crazy stuff.
Let's co-write it.
Sure, why not? Let's do it.
All right, fuck it. Okay, listen, man, what's your Twitter? If everybody wants to check in on the Chapo shit, because I know you're posting it.
At Alan Foyer, at AlanFeuer.
It's like fever, but it's Foyer. It's with a U and not a V. Alan Fever.
That's
but
right.
Okay. Hey, I love you, man. Oh, by the way, I just was in Cleveland the other day.
Oh, no. Why?
Yeah.
What took you to Cleveland, man?
Well, I got some gas and took a shit.
As one does.
Happy New Year, brother.
Love you.
Thanks for your time. Bye.
All right, bye.
That guy's awesome. Now, let's do some business.
Well knowledge.
Yeah, he is sharp. I told you. And he can write like the wind, man. Swear to God. Let's talk about our sponsors, our family. Listen, Trump's got trouble. One of the reasons he's in trouble is he's got a shit punk lawyer. I'm going to recommend a great lawyer. You need a lawyer, this guy does it all. Zaney Law, offices in Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights litigation, personal injury. Make an appointment. It's tell Eddie Charlie sent you. 517-292-7000. As for Eddie, because when things get zany, you call Ed Zany. He even wrote that.
I was going to ask.
It's very smart.
Man, that's clever. okay, listen, let me just do Luke Nowacki real quick. I want to give you Luke's number. I'm not going to read the stuff we do every week. Luke is a personal finance guy, right? Everybody knows what the market's doing, up and down. You got to plan your pension, life insurance, college, all of it. Call Luke, 248-663-4748. 248-663-4748. I should probably just do this little
go ahead,
legal thing. Let's here. Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned than other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
That's pretty good.
It's not like a real commercial.
Thank you.
You know, they do that. They speed up in the editing process because they're falling short on time, so they just speed up the audio.
How they do it?
Yeah.
I just thought a guy just went to college to learn that.
You did it naturally.
You did that.
Well, listen, last night there was a big fundraiser, you know, for children's health, and Luke was there. Luke's cool, man, and I am going to get some life insurance through him. And so Luke, he hands me $500. He goes, buy some cops some lunch down there at American Coney.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Now, I called our friend at American Coney who's sponsor of the show, Grace Carroll. I said, the real OG. Mm-hmm. I said, Luke just kicked in five. She goes, I'll match it. I'll match it.
That's great.
So guess what we have for if you for Christmas, for the holidays, right? Because not everybody celebrates Christmas. You wear a badge. You are a paramedic. You are a cop. You are a fireman. You pilot Air Force One. You're a federal agent.
Wayne County Sheriff?
Wayne County Sheriff. Yes, you wear a badge. You bring it to American Coney Island this Saturday, December 22nd, from 12 to 3. You and your family eat for free. That's on us. No bullshit news hour, American Coney Island, Luke Nowacki. We respect you. We honor you. It's a little something from us. Merry Christmas. And don't be pigs. Don't sit, you know, don't be pigs.
Don't
bring your neighbor. You know what I mean? Don't ask for stuff to go. And, you know, just bring the kids. There's ice skating downtown. There's the tree. There's shopping. You know, I know you might come on down. Stop at American Coney Island at Lafayette, Michigan, right in that triangle. You know, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, y'all. Is that good?
That was very beautiful. Good. Yeah.
Well played.
I'm sitting here tearing up.
Yeah, so come get on down there. I'll even be there. Bussing the table.
Do I have to tip you?
Yeah, make sure you tip, guys. Make sure you tip.
You as
got
well.
To play with matches.
You should always tip. I mean, yeah, when you yeah. get, well, even you get a complimentary meal. Tip. But I was asking if Charlie is there. Should we tip Charlie? Because, you know, we shouldn't do singles with Charlie. We need larger meals.
You tip the guys and gals, you know, that are serving you.
You should
know.
Always do that.
I'm just there shaking hands.
Okay.
Okay, let's...
Hopefully washing them afterwards.
Big local news. Let's do the big local. What was the big story this week?
Probably the rollout of the corporate investment in neighborhoods, $35 million over 5 years. I would think that was probably a large story up until last night when there was a shooting downtown at Grand Circus Park in Woodward. So you pick one.
Well, shootings are a dime a dozen. No offense to people getting shot. But, okay, so the mayor pulls out seven old white business leaders and say, we got $35 million in corporate charity to invest in the city over 5 years. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's like the greatest thing ever, like a world record. Right? Let me see if I got... Bob's on the phone, so let me just see if I got... I got a little tape here. Here we go. All right, let me just play this here. See if it works in this basement.
Shopping quarters. We're going to take vacant apartment buildings and get them renovated and move families in. We're going to take vacant lots and build new apartment buildings with affordable housing so that people of all incomes can live in the neighborhood. We're going to upgrade the parks and the streetscapes. That's what we're going to do with this money.
Huh.
We're going to sprinkle magic dust on the city.
$35 million. Like Dr. Evil. Okay. Well, look. It's like poodles. It's like the press cannot be poodles. You must be professors. You must do math. Let me do you some math. $35 million will run the police department in Detroit for 1 month. That's what it'll do. We have 20,000 units of low-income housing about ready to sunset. They will not be low-income housing anymore. Okay, so we're going to build low-income housing and do parks and bushes and shrubbery and neat and coffee shops, right? Let me give you some math. Currently, and I'm lowballing, construction costs are $200 a square foot.
Even the cheap stuff.
$200 a square foot to build. All right. Okay, so now do the math. Let's say we're not going to give low-income people a palace. Here's a 1,000-square-foot apartment. Right? 200 times 1,000 is 200,000. 35 million divided by 200,000 is how many apartments?
Come on, Matt.
Let me do some calculation. Just pressing some buttons. 175 apartments. 175 apartments. What we would need to replace the 20,000, if you really want to give me a boner, you want me to do jumping jacks on TV, $3.5 billion. $3.5 billion.
But Charlie, my question is this. I mean, I'm all for philanthropic and corporate investment. I get that. I think that's, you know, that's admirable. But the mayor early on indicated that he wanted to be judged by his ability to attract and retain new residents. Our population continues to decline. And Cranes did a story probably earlier this year talking about the low occupancy for all the new buildings. So where are the people?
Where are the people? I knew a realtor who took Chinese investors around and said 97% full down here. And the Chinese investor said, where's all the people?
The buildings are placeholders.
Tax shelter.
Yeah.
Tax shelter.
Pretty little buildings you just kind of put up that don't look good in the middle of two old houses.
Now, you and I did a piece and you edited it, but Hackle's on the phone. What's up, Mark?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Real good, brother. Just sit there tight with us. We're gonna introduce you real cool. So just pretend like you're not there. We're gonna edit you out.
Got it.
Just I suspect that this whole thing was a smokescreen.
A distraction for the news story from last week that you talked about, Charlie.
Ah, you mean the police can't, we don't have enough police out there.
No, well, maybe it was a story the week before in terms of the questioning of the mayor's residency, the Carmack video. This, in my opinion, was a distraction. It was an early shotgun announcement announced earlier than originally planned, and I think it was done so as a distraction.
Well, let me give you this, too. Here's what I now know. I know the FBI is up in the county treasurer's office wondering where the properties went and who got it. Right on the tax foreclosures list, and they've been removed, and who got them? I know they're in the city council. We know that because Gabe Levin's been indicted. We know they're in the police department because the deputy chief of police. We know that they're in city hall. We know that according to the Sherman Act, that the maximum penalty is $100 million for corporations and $1 million for individuals. The maximum sentence is 10 years in prison. That's collusion among competitors, which may constitute violations of mail or wire fraud, false statements, other felony statutes, all which is underneath the antitrust division of the DOJ, who is heading this investigation into the demolition. And by the way, according to the Sherman Act, 5 years. You got 5 years to execute it from the commission of the crime, which would be collusion and secret meetings. Those meetings happened in 2014 in the spring. What I'm saying here, whether it be mid-level, low-level, or all the level, those indictments are about on us, and we got to start saying, look at the sock. Look at the sock on my hand. I guarantee you.
They're running out of time.
They're running out of time, dude. This is the no bullshit news hour. I know it was nice to meet everybody last night. I know why you're coming here. This is the truth. This is real journalism. This is stuff we do. Alan Foyer comes on because he does it, not because we call somebody we don't know. We call it, what you're getting here is real. Now, Matt edited this. A little something I wrote for Deadline Detroit. Mark Hackle's on the phone because he had the balls, and I don't say that about many politicians. He had the balls to stick up for you. So here is Amazon, the choo-choo train, and how this year there's a chimney for Santa to come down because we didn't have to give it to the Ritz set downtown. So Bob, if you... Dear Santa, please send us a train. Nothing too expensive. A nice silver train, maybe, with peppermint striped wheels. Remember last Christmas, Santa, when Amazon was talking like they believed in us and maybe they wanted to move here to Detroit? And almost everyone around here believed. It's nice to be believed in. If anybody knows that, it's you, Papa. Amazon said it was looking for a big-time city to locate a second-world headquarters and the 50,000 jobs that would come with it. Never mind 250 other cities offered their firstborn child. Amazon said they really liked our pluck and turnaround spirit. That's what Detroit city leaders told us anyway. But it wasn't Detroit elected leaders who told us that. It was the billionaire developers and business elite who really make decisions around here. In order to make that dream come true, they told us, we had to hand Amazon billions of dollars and build a commuter train to Ann Arbor.
All aboard!
Who could argue? They're billionaires after all. So we let them secretly negotiate with Amazon, although nobody told us they were dangling $4 billion of public money like an apple to the horse. Business writers and talking heads thought it was a fine idea to negotiate in secret. After all, billionaires know what they're doing. They're billionaires.
Well, news from the tech front tonight. Amazon has...
But we won't get a rich new neighbor. Detroit didn't even make Amazon's final list of 20. And that hurt real bad. The billionaires told us the reason Amazon didn't want to move below 8 Mile was because we didn't have a train. Trendy techie types really like Train Santa. And we believed what the billionaires said Amazon told them, even though Amazon never told us. The billionaires and their mercenaries teamed up to sell the people of Metro Detroit on the idea of taxing their homes to build that train, even though that train would not service Oakland and Macomb counties, where most of the homeowners live. It would run downtown, where the billionaires have their casinos and ballparks. The downtown billionaires wouldn't even have to pay for the train. The only people who seemed to understand this were the county executives of Oakland and Macomb counties, who blocked the vote. They were shouted down as racists and obstructionists, but they were right. And now nobody wants to give them credit. And now we find out that it wasn't about a train at all, Santa. Amazon unofficially announced last month that it will split its second world headquarters between New York and Washington, D.C., even though other finalist cities like Chicago have better trains. Massive tax subsidies offered by the winning cities certainly didn't hurt. Detroit's billionaires and business elites and newspaper poodles are barking mad. Amazon pulled the bone away while our business leaders handed over our balance sheets, our development plans, and our proprietary data. Once again, the big city wolves made us look like hicks. We don't have a train in Detroit, Santa, but we do have a train station. And the city is going to fork over $100 million to help a multi-billion dollar multinational corporation refurbish it. It is unlikely that the city will ever break even on that deal. We don't have broadband internet coverage either, but we do have insufficient police coverage. We don't have an education system that educates, but we do have tainted water coming from the elementary school drinking fountains. We also have billions of dollars in projects financed with hundreds of millions of public dollars downtown, which, unknown to most regular folks, is something called an opportunity zone created under the Trump tax cuts. In opportunity zones, the rich are allowed to funnel in outside profits and shelter those profits from capital gains taxes into a new project in the opportunity zone. We don't have much. And with the economy teetering and the stock market ping-ponging and General Motors consolidating itself right out of the city of Detroit, we're going to have to make some real decisions that maximizes benefits for the most. That's just basic economics. So I'm begging you, Santa, please send us a train.
We need that, Santa.
That was great, Matt.
You got mad because Bob cut it off.
Santa said Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we did. Rewind the last bit.
He come Merry Christmas.
He wanted to be politically
correct. I know he did.
Mark, you there? Yeah, can you turn him up, man? You there, Mark?
I can hear you guys very well.
Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle. Mark, sir?
How
ready
we doing?
Ready for this?
Yes, I am always ready.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
I'm glad it wasn't a slow clap. Thank you.
Well, turns out, Mark, that the whole Amazon thing was a charade. They knew where they were going. They knew what they were going to get. And they were using everybody as a counterbalance. You saw it.
I think what it was, it's part of the push or the ploy to try to get people to believe that we have to have, you know, this RTA plan for multiple reasons. And anytime something fails, they turn to the RTA because they're trying to force that issue on the region. And I could just tell them that here in Macomb County, voters are pretty astute. They pay attention. They want to know where their tax dollars are going. And they didn't believe the whole Amazon thing that, you know, the reason it didn't come here is because we didn't have the RTA. People come to realize, you know what, we have a transit system. It's called SMART, that we're the only county that has bought into it from day one. And yet there's a disconnect in Wayne County, in Oakland, and even with the city of Detroit having their own system. So people in Macomb County keep saying, why do we need to add another layer of transit when we already have one that nobody else that's complaining about this seems to connect with? Why don't they just do that? And I still haven't gotten that answer. I still don't have the answer as to why others just aren't all in, like Macomb County has been.
Well, that was it. Look, yeah, it's, the you backwater people up there in Macomb County, every community buys into SMART, right? It's the only one of the three counties where every community is an opt-in. Everybody pays, everybody gets it, correct?
Charlie, the interesting thing is, I was the sheriff at the time, and when they decided to go to this, regional transit, Macomb County said, okay, region, we support that. In fact, the Board of Commissioners back then, when there were 26 members, said, you know what, we're not going to have opt-out communities. It's either all or nothing. And then we turned and realized, wait a minute, that's not happening in Oakland, and that's not happening in Wayne. Now, granted, Oakland's not complaining. And so, you know, I say Oakland only because, you know, it's part of the example. But, you know, you got Wayne County who's upset about this and, you know, trying to, you know, justify, you know, Macomb County's no vote for other reasons other than the fact that they've always been supportive of regional transit. We're the only ones that opted in. And even the city of Detroit, the largest city within the region, opted out by creating their own system. So it kind of surprised us here in Macomb County. But that being said, every time that vote has come back to the voters here in Macomb County for a renewal or slight increases, they were able to justify why, and the people here in Macomb County have always supported it. So I find it very kind of the hypocrisy of it that they want to, you know, give us a hard time out here in Macomb County saying you don't support transit, and yet we're the only ones that are all in. I just don't understand that.
It's funny as well because Detroit doesn't pay for SMART, but it uses SMART, it gets SMART. And the county executive, Warren Evans, who's out there doing jumping jacks and saying everybody should tax their homes, moved away into the middle of the night out to Canton in a really nice spread where they don't pay for SMART.
And see, it's interesting because you're right. We do actually provide the services, some services in the city of Detroit. And I'm going to tell you, when the residents in Macomb County realized that, they thought, well, wait a minute, how is that fair? We're providing it. But yet, we still support it. So, you know, I really, again, the hypocrisy or the irony of it is we're supporting a system that goes down into Detroit that helps them to provide, you know, opportunities for people to get to and from, and in particular, going to work. And we've always done that. And yet for others to say, you know, we're just being anti-regional or anti-Detroit, it's unacceptable. And besides, you know what? I can't help but use a population. You guys were talking earlier about population and, you know, the challenges maybe in Detroit or Wayne County. Macomb County, since 2010 census, on average, meaning since 2010, we have on average brought in 12 new people a day into Macomb County. That's on average since 2010. That is an incredible statistic if you think about it. And a lot of the growth has been redistribution of population, you know, from Wayne County or the city of Detroit. And they're welcome. We welcome people from.
Oh, you're speaking in code, though. I know what you're saying. So Eight Mile is, you know, like it's Macomb, 8 Mile, Warren and Detroit. So what percentage of Macomb County is black, Mark?
Right now, when we talk about the population itself and the diversity, when we talk about African-American, you're talking 17% of the population.
17.
That is a major change.
Hold on.
Over the
Hold
year.
On. 17.
Yeah.
And statewide, the black population is about 12?
I'm not certain of that.
I think so. And in America, it's about 12?
Yeah.
So you're saying Macomb County is now more multi-culti than America as a whole?
Last year, statistics alone, just from last year, even from outside the United States, in Macomb County, 75% of our population over this past year has been from people not from other counties, but from other countries.
Whoa.
So we're seeing population increases here in Macomb County from both the people moving out of other counties, moving to Macomb, and people from other countries moving into Macomb. So, you know, and the migration issue, by the way, from Detroit to Macomb County, I'm going to bet you probably 95% of the people in Macomb County have some kind of a connection to Detroit because that migration has been happening for decades. So it's nothing unusual. And I say that for this reason. For anybody to kind of like throw that out there or cast this this shadow of, you know, Macomb County just doesn't like Detroit or isn't supporting Detroit, it couldn't be further from the truth based on fact and based on, you know, I guess, impression. I don't see how that can even be a reality. We're always trying to figure out how do we be a good neighbor in supporting the city of Detroit. But when it comes to our tax dollars, we need to be very, you know, concerned about, you know, where's our money going? And right now in Macomb County, the number one concern is public roads. People want these doggone roads fixed, and you know, we could sit there and say fix the darn roads, but the reality is we need to fix the funding for roads.
Hold on, Mark. That's true, but like, I mean, Gretchen says damn roads. I mean, you can say doggone and darn. I mean, gee, what's going on with you?
Yeah, I know. But that's her thing. I don't want to steal her thunder.
So the point is fixing
the funding. I mean, the roads will get fixed. Look at my own road. We got money from the federal government for a road that is not a federal road. It's not a state highway. And yet we got the largest grant awarded to a local road project in the history of not just the state, but the country. And it's almost $100 million we got to fix that road. Otherwise, we would have never figured out where that money was going to come from. Now that we got the money, that one of the worst roads probably in Michigan will become. It'd be transformed into one of the probably the most technologically advanced stretches of roadway in the entire country by the time we're done. So,
all right, let me cut you short there because, you know, I'm imagining people driving and you're boring them. But
no worries.
No, you got the roads fixed. You fixed the damn roads. Good for you. Now, listen, real quick, rapid fire. One, immigrants. What planet did the mayor of Warren come from, Fouts? Like, where is he from?
Pluto? You know, I we always say we all have our differences in our town. But my job is to try to figure out how do I deal with situations to help, you know, fix problems that relate to their residents. So I'm not going to get into a confrontation, you know, with him. You know, he's different personality than I am.
He's weird.
You know, people vote for him.
Weird. He's a weird guy, man. It's weird. He threw me out of Warren. Is he allowed to like bar me from being in the city of Warren, sir?
I don't believe anybody can be barred from a community.
Thank you. There you go. Number two, can Joe the intern hang around with you and do a profile of you for the show about Macomb County?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to love Joe.
You're going to love Joe. You're going to love Joe.
Stand-up guy.
Three, why didn't you? Listen, like, Macomb.
I'm glad you guys gave him that, you know, that testimonial there. Otherwise, I would have thought, oh, man, maybe I should have rethought that.
Number three, Macomb County executive. That's got to be, by my estimation, at least the ninth most powerful political position in Michigan.
Yeah, you got me. I never look at it from that perspective.
Why didn't you run for governor? You were a shoo-in.
And it wasn't about winning or losing. It was about, you know, I like what I'm doing, and you know, I'm not ready to turn this over to someone else. You know, not knowing if it's going to be, you know, partisan based. I think people that wanted this job when I was the sheriff were very much interested in the politics and tried how to grow the party. And I thought that's not what I'm looking for out of the next executive or the first executive of this county. It's setting a structure in place. So I ran for it. Again, it was a very difficult decision because I adored the job of being the sheriff. Still do. I miss it. But I realized politics was going to prevail, and I was not about to let that happen. So pretty much, you know, the candidate probably had the best or clearest path to winning that was me. I realized it, and I thought if I don't do this, someone else will. And I probably won't be happy not only as a resident, but as the sheriff.
How much is the federal investigation into the hauling and all of that nonsense up there? How much more is that going to bleed into Detroit? I mean, I'm not sure about towing and everything. Go ahead, sir.
I'm not sure about Detroit. In fact, that one kind of, I was surprised by that. All the other stuff that was going on with Public Works, and in particular, our you know, the one of the trustees over in Macomb Township in particular, some of the things he had going, who was the right-hand man to the Public Works official, Tony Morocco, that I was fully aware of. And I know that's not done. There's more to come on that issue. But the actual trash hauling, that was local municipal contracts and everything. Everybody keeps saying, you know, another county elected official, whatever. Really, they were more local elected officials that were getting themselves in hot water in the county. So, you know, nobody from the county has gotten themselves in hot water just yet.
But I understand what you're saying. At your level, I get that. But
it wasn't me.
It is true, sir. You know, I mean, you have a perch. You talk to people. There is so much federal activity in terms of looking at corruption and whatnot in this region, isn't there? There's a lot.
I do hear about it. Yeah, I mean, again, my circles, I hear conversation. So, you know, more to come from what I hear.
Finally, Bob wanted to ask it about, you know, the lame duck bills that they're trying to get through up in Lansing, you know, in terms of whittling down the power of the attorney general, the governor, you know.
Secretary of State.
As a way to disenfranchise exactly what the voters voted for, the Republican legislature is trying to take that away.
Yeah, I find it obviously unacceptable behavior. One of those, you know, we're mad, so we're not going to take it. That's what they're doing. But I would hope, you know, the governor's going to have to make a decision on some of those as to whether he signs them or not. And knowing what I know about the governor from, you know, my perspective, I think, you know, in my estimation, some of that he probably isn't going to accept. And if he does, I'll be kind of surprised. I thought differently of him than to sign some of those, you know, those bills that are coming out. They're going to hinder, you know, what powers, you know, your Secretary of State, Attorney General, and the governor have already.
I've interviewed him a number of times. It doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy, but that would be his legacy, right?
I would agree with you.
If he fucked the will of the voters, then that's what you, I mean, the Flint stuff aside, which you can't put that aside, but it seems like that would be his legacy. You own that.
What will of the voters?
Yeah. Again, well, when you say, you know, the voters voted for the, you know, folks that they voted for, and they're in. So to change the description of their jobs or, you
right.
know, diminish their powers to whatever extent.
It's a disgusting power grab.
Well, wait a minute. Let's get this straight, though. The enumerated powers were not voted on in a plebiscite. They were constructed by the representatives. Number two, the wages, the prevailing wages, the insurance, that never even got to a vote because they played parliamentary tricks. So the fact is, let's just keep it straight, it's a naked-ass power grab.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly right. Let's keep it straight. It's a naked-ass power grab.
Yeah. And don't forget, Flint is a legacy. Emergency management's a legacy.
Absolutely.
As are balanced budgets, job growth. You know, the guy's done some good things, no doubt about it.
He's done some bad things, too.
Power to the people. You know how I am. Hey, Mark, again, man, I just want to say this. I know it was hard. I know it was really hard to stand up like you did at Mackinac and basically talk economic sense. You know, it wasn't easy. Nobody was really listening. It was hard to be called names. But in the end, you've been proven right. It was a sham. They tried to push this on us in 16, this train. It's like the ghost of Christmas past. It showed up again, and it's going to show up in 2020. So, again, I don't say it to many politicians, but thanks.
Yeah, I just got to say, you're absolutely right. Being up at Mackinac was interesting. We thought we were up there talking about talent attraction, and economic development, and in particular, dealing with infrastructure. And that wasn't the conversation. It was almost like you were being, you know, you weren't invited to, you know, to the reindeer games. I'll use, I guess, the current state of affairs with our holidays here. I wasn't part of the in crowd because of this. And it was almost like they were trying to intentionally, you know, be dismissive of you because you weren't just going to play ball or jump in. And I thought, well, I'm okay with that. I can accept that because the people who were listening was a person like me. And that was to the 870,000 people in Macomb County who were saying, this doesn't make economic sense and it's not justified. So my message when I went to Mackinac was very simple. I'm talking on behalf of the people in Macomb County. You need to listen because they're not accepting this plan. And boy, they decided they want to continue to push this thing. And not only did it get voted down the first time, it never made it to the second round. And it won't into the future either.
My man, see, because we are a region. That's why our listeners, wherever you are, it's all together. You can't separate, right? The tax dollars, county dollars go to city, city dollars go to county, and they go to Lansing. And what's going on, Karen?
Well, no, I'm just thinking, and you know, Mark Hackle, this is Karen Dumas. You know, I have the
utmost
respect for you, always have. But you have to applaud the fact that he is protecting the interest of his constituents. I mean, that there's value in that. I mean, as opposed to playing a political game. So, I mean, a lot of times people criticize L. Brooks for doing what he does, but you do have to protect the interest of those who elected you. He represents Macomb County. So he championed for their will. So you talk about power to the people? there's your example.
Amen. Yeah, and not trying to be critical of others, but you know what's interesting is, you know, they kept talking about the big advances they were looking for, you know, with the train out to Ann Arbor and, you know, the Q line down in Detroit. And I'm sitting there listening to all this, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's a lot of the financial investment was going to be down in Wayne County and, in particular, Washtenaw County. So my statement was, well, then why don't they just merge together with some kind of a transit system or authority and move forward with it? And they were talking about it. They said, well, if they won't, then we'll come together. Well, I haven't heard a word about that. In other words, the two of them aren't coming together. And the reason for it is they needed the money. They were looking for the investment on behalf of Oakland and Macomb County.
My house.
Without that money, it's not going to.
My house, where my wife and my baby live. You won't even take my income because I'll see it in my check. Yeah. You know, it's not the rich. They don't pay. The poor cannot pay. It's all of us as the middle that pay. And we elect
shrinking middle.
We elect you to do the math, because here's the thing. 30% of all the property taxes collected in Detroit would not have gone to the RTA transit. It would have gone into that downtown tax capture for the super rich. Fuck you, man. No way. The Q line, we don't have any money, right, Mark? There's no money to pay for the Q line, is there?
Well, and that's interesting. You keep talking about, you know, actually not you, but the public, you know, or the those that want this RTA. And again, that's always the question. Who is it really that wants this RTA? And it's probably the people that have the money down in that area. But the reality is, we talk about these partnerships. And yet there's always supposed to be somewhat of a partnership on behalf of the private sector. Well, then why are we paying for the Q line? Why was that rate at the onset taken off? Saying this is the commitment on behalf of the private sector is this particular Q line, this investment. That wasn't it. And people out in Macomb County, I know that for a fact, saying we're not paying for that. And that's what was going to be subsidized.
That's the white man's people mover.
It wasn't going to happen. Macomb County voters, I'm telling you, if they put that on the ballot and said, you know, hey, by the way, would you like to pay for the Q line? Obviously, 100% would have voted no on that one. No question about it.
But that was that small piece in that RTA proposal was the acquisition of the outstanding debt. And
you're right.
When you ask that question, it became the answer was always convoluted. I mean, my response to the initial proposal
right.
is that that is a duplication of two struggling routes already. You've got DDOT, you know, and I don't know if FAST is something different and smart. And I said, why not? Why don't we invest in strengthening and expanding the existing transit systems that we have? Like, what is this doing? Where is this going?
Oh, dig this.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Dig this. Okay. For the people out there, they're not wonky like we are. Here, let me give it to you. When Detroit went bankrupt, you know, like right now, the city's not paying the pension obligations for the firemen and the police, right? That's come and due. Well, what happened to the bus drivers? How are we financing their pension? Who's paying for it right now? You want to know who is, Mark? Do you know who is?
No.
We are in our water bills.
Yeah.
They stuck it to our water, right?
Is that why it went up?
That was another one of my issues.
Did you know that, Macomb? Did you know that, Oakland? Did you know that, Wayne?
Yeah.
Did you know that, Flint?
We all took Flint's payments over for that failed water system. See, we're mad, Mark.
I completely hear you. That's in Macomb County. The question is moving forward with some of these issues. You know, I've got to be involved in those conversations, but in being involved, I got to be very upfront about, you know, the concerns I have as to how it's going to impact Macomb County. As Karen had mentioned, you know, the big issue here is, you know, I got to represent 870,000 people in Macomb County first and foremost.
You got to represent millions of people that will come after us that you have no, that aren't even born, that will be saddled with 30 years of debt. Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we will talk again.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Ciao. Thanks for being here. Nice, Bob. Woo. Okay, guess what?
What?
If we had done the RTA... Remember the stories about getting to the mall out there? And where is that? Novi?
Yeah.
12 Oaks.
12 Oaks. There's no bus route to the mall.
Right.
Under that RTA plan, there still wouldn't have been a bus route to the mall.
Who's going to take the bus to 12 Oaks?
I'm going to tell you who. That's fantastic. You ready for me, Bob?
Who is it?
Are you ready? Are you ready to press this button? Forget the phone call.
Ready to press the button, but...
Okay. I tell you who would take the bus to the mall. Joe DeMarco, intern Joe.
What would he do at the mall?
Let's find out.
I'm loving these transitions, I'll tell you that.
I'm just making them up as we go.
I have no idea where you're going.
Pretty good, though, right?
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's great.
Still didn't hear Santa Claus say Merry Christmas, though. I know. Need to know.
Oh, I thought that was the piece.
It's your old pal Joe DeMarco here. We're at the Fairlane Town Center, or as I always call it, Dearborn Mall. So come here today. We're trying to see about getting a gig as an elf for a day, or at least a few hours.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
This is always good. Two security cars roll up at the door in front of me. I ain't even got in the door good, and you're on me like that.
I understand. So, in other words, we're just nipping the problem before.
So, if Channel 2 or Channel 4 would come in, no, they would. You wouldn't fill them out.
Yes, they would. They always go through management, sir.
They always come in here, and they don't have a problem.
Sir, so I'm not going to discuss this with you, sir.
So, we got thrown out before we got in the door. Before even getting in the door, we got thrown out.
He's an angry elf.
So, now I'm at Oakland Mall.
That's not
going to work. And we're going to see if things work out a little better. We just walked past our first security guard, and he didn't say nothing. Of course, the microphone is inside my suit coat. I'm trying to be an undercover elf, I guess.
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
How you doing? Hey, do they have a Santa hookup in here? Like, come visit Santa Claus?
It's over there. It's over right there.
Is this where Santa Claus is supposed to be? Where's he at? Oh, all right. Well, Santa Claus is on break till 4:30. Oh, Santa Claus!
Santa! Oh my God! Santa here? I know him.
Good to see you, Santa Claus. How you
good
doing this afternoon?
Good to see you.
Okay, so Santa Claus finally showed up.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
I hate to bother you. Can you take a picture of me in this hat?
Full body?
Yeah.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
How old is she?
A year and a half.
A year and a half?
Yeah.
Okay, so she doesn't know what to ask Santa Claus.
No.
You're just going to get pictures.
Did you ask Santa Claus for a fucking job?
Pricey. I've seen some of the packages in here. $50.
This is
kind of,
this is sounding okay. Creepy. Yeah?
Memories. You're like, Joe. I don't even want that Ryan egg. I want that dragon egg with the slime.
Okay. Are you going to ask him for prosperity? A better job for mommy and daddy? Yeah?
My dad did not even get another job.
You sit on a throne of lies.
My original assignment was to come down here and try to get a job or get a gig as one of the elves.
Gotcha.
And who would I talk to about that?
Well, it would be me, but there's absolutely nowhere I could use you.
Really?
No, I held up in October.
Really?
September, October.
I mean, just for a few hours out of one day, just so we could do it.
I have to legally get you through payroll and actually. They have to okay everything.
It's like you should hide
Let's
your kids.
HR.
Well, I don't want you in trouble.
No, it's a great job.
Even he said a TV station came this morning, and they had to get permission from corporate. So I'm definitely violating a bunch of rules here today, going undercover to interview a bunch of little kids.
Not right.
What?
Not right.
No. What? Just kill that.
I'm going to call the authorities. That sounds creepy.
That does sound creepy, Joe.
It's underneath my jacket.
Yeah, I mean, he's asking little kids, what do you want for Christmas? It sounds like Chester.
Well, I'm assuming they knew he was.
Chester.
Remember Chester?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, no.
Well, he did have to sign.
What are you supposed to ask kids that are in line?
No one told you to ask kids anything.
Summer vacation?
I don't want you within 100 miles of kids.
Ask
Santa for a job.
What
the assignment was to ask for a job.
Ask him to take pictures with the kids.
Not why his dad's a loser.
Soccer.
No.
What a nut. Look, the kid knew you were interviewing him, though, right?
Well, eventually I was able to pull out the microphone and interview them.
And the parents knew, right?
Do not say pull out the microphone.
Don't say pull out anything.
Borderline pedophilia.
This guy's worse than Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places.
Well, so I pulled it out and then...
Added under my coat. No, Joe. Shame on you.
Man, get your minds out the gutter, man.
What is wrong with you?
Look. Can't talk to kids. Strangers aren't supposed to talk to
you. I just knew it.
Should I fire this dude?
Don't fire him. Just don't send him around kids.
I can't send them to malls. Going around kids. What else this guy
doing? Police situations.
Send him to Hackle, man. I mean.
Okay, dude. Dude, you're not to go anywhere except with Mark Hackle. And you can't interview children. Without their parents' permission.
Don't talk to them.
Their parents knew you were interviewing them, though, right?
I did talk to their parents. Good. They're standing right there.
Good.
I introduced myself to their parents first.
Good.
That's what Larry Nassar said.
I wouldn't just walk right up and start talking to them.
Oh, what'd you say, Ken?
Man. Said,
that's what Larry Nassar said. The parents were there. That's not a...
No.
Come on, Joe. You know I'm your biggest fan. Joe, you know I'm your biggest fan. But don't do that. Mm. Don't do that again.
Don't do what? What I do?
What I do? Joe.
Stick to the script, man. You're going to go see Mark Hackle.
That's the problem.
Look, and you're not going to make stuff up or like I heard. Look, here's the thing, Joe. Okay, ready? A guy from the West Coast who loves you. His name's Paul Steer. Okay? He loves you.
He's sending you a present.
How did you hear from him?
He's sending you a present. For Christmas, but in the meantime, he's gone over.
That's great. Thank you, Paul Steer. Merry Christmas.
He's gone over every one of your segments, this being like your 12th to 13th or whatever. He's gone over every one, and he's put a list together.
How detailed?
It's 35 points to be made. Joe, are you ready? This is from Paul.
There's a couple things.
These are rules for reporters. Are you ready? One.
I'm ready.
Don't pay for interviews. Two. Ask the person for their name. Three. Clean up. Wash yourself now and then. Four, pay attention. Don't let the sound get all blown out. Five, ask for their fucking names, Joe. Six.
That was three.
Six. That's why it's important. Remember it.
It was one, three, and five.
Six, wear clean underpants. Seven. Turn on the recorder, Joe. Eight, you've got to take the fucking job seriously. Nine, get there early. 10. Put on a clean shirt.
With the ties that we got you.
The ties that she got you.
True that.
11, listen to what's being said to you. 12, we will not forget. 13, you've got to have a heart for it. 14, nobody wants to face the music, so expect resistance. 15, don't accept being treated like a media lapdog. 16, when Paul Egan writes it, it's for real. 17, shout your question. Paul Egan is the hitman for the Free Press.
You need to educate yourself.
You got
to
read Paul's stuff.
You got to read lots of stuff.
18, you got to read. 19, you got to do your homework. You don't just yell stuff about people that's not true. 20, don't ask permission. Ask the question. 21, don't let anybody push you around, but don't push back physically, ever. 22, talk about things you're aware of. Don't talk about things you're not. 24, ask the questions you've been given, Joe, and not the children. I just added the children part in.
That's good.
25, don't post shit about the show until we're ready to go with the show.
Is that one of yours that was on the list?
This is all
stuff. Oh, it's on the list. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
26, don't go off res. Don't be going to people's actual homes, Joe. I don't want you stalking anybody. 27.
Yeah, Walchek did it. It worked good for him.
You're not Walchek.
You were out of line.
27. Don't keep your suits in plastic. Keep them in a fabric garment bag.
There we go.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Come with real questions. Be Johnny on the spot and get some information, like when there's a corpse in front of your place of work. 30.
Get up to. I would just add 29A. Don't invite Channel 7 in to shoot the dead people from.
Don't do interviews with the competitor.
I got one too.
Yes, get the exclusive. Be greedy a little bit.
And if you shit your pants while laughing,
do not tell anybody about it.
Take them out back and burn them.
And don't tell anybody.
Immediately.
Get some audio. File your own report. Don't show up in other things. Okay, listen. Do the stories that are right in front of your face. I think we just did that. Oh, by the way, now, you, Joe, hear me clearly here. This is very good. Thanks, Paul. Joe, be Joe DeMarco, the chief deputy intern of the No Bullshit News Hour. Remember that.
You're Joe.
Do what you do, Joe.
We're the badge of the pride.
Chief and deputy, kind of like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The word chief indicates that there might be a subordinate.
That would
I don't
be
have
you too.
No subordinate. It's just me. I'm the subordinate.
Now you're getting the joke, Joe.
You're in charge and you're the subordinate.
And remember, Joe, try to love one another.
Merry Christmas.
And don't listen to Joe. Joe, Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Don't listen to Joe. All right.
Bye-bye. Especially if you're a child. The No Bullshit News Hour is made up of Bob Shettlebauer over there on the board.
Hello.
Karen Dumas. Yeah, everybody knows Karen. Motor City Hit Woman. It's Matt Phillips over here editing the sound. Jason C. is our tech man. I'm waiting to see him. Merry Christmas, Jason. Joe DeMarco, of course, and me, Charlie LaDuff. You can subscribe to the No Bullshit News Hour on iTunes. If you do, please give us a rating. Apparently that makes us cool. You can get to Google Play, Spotify, everywhere, or go to our website, nobsnewshour.com, or finally just go to my Facebook page. I paste them. It's easy. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Charlie.
Merry Christmas to all you out there.
And everybody out there.
If that's what you do, and Happy New Year to everybody, because everybody does that. And this song... it's dedicated to our friend Jessica Starr.